Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Worse Guy by Ruby Dixon, narrated by Jair Bush and Alexander Sindes. 1. B. Thank you for seeing me, sir. I give first-rank novice a cheery smile as I stare up and up and up at him. The Masaka guardsman looks very severe. His horns are capped with plain metal, his face is all disapproving blue angles, and his hair is slicked back and tied in a tight knot at the base of his skull. Even his uniform is plain. It's black with one insignia that I think is Lord Varin's personal symbol, but other than that and the squiggles on his shoulder that denote his rank, he could be a janitor. The Masaka favor plain, functional clothing, and so does this guy. Doesn't matter. I give first-rank novice my sweetest look. His title's a little weird, but I suspect it's something like a space version of a sergeant. Judging by the stiff demeanor, I think I'm right. I do my best to look darling and helpless and human. But I was really hoping to speak to Lord Varin. Riffin said. The starchy-looking officer clasps his hands behind his back and frowns down at me, the horns on his head making him seem downright intimidating. It's been years, and I'm still not used to the sheer size of the blue Masaka. On Earth, I was short, at just an inch under 5 foot, but here, I'm positively squat. I'm a footstool, a cute, fluffy little human footstool that no one takes very seriously, including first-rank novice. He gazes down at me as if I'm a pesky fly bothering him. Lord Varin is very busy. Well, yes, I know. Goodness, aren't we all? I chuckle at my own joke. But I really do need to see him. It's about a job. I smooth my hands down my nicest tunic, which really isn't all that nice, and resist the urge to thread my fingers through my curls. Riffin said that he could get me in to see you, and that you could pass my message on to Lord Varin and his lovely wife. My boyfriend? Sure, we'll call him boyfriend. Riffin would probably be upset to know I keep reminding his senior officer that it was his idea for me to talk to his superior. Even now, Riffin stands just outside the office, and I can only imagine what he's thinking. Silly, soft bee, getting another idea in her head. But I know this is a good one, and that's why I'm here today instead of at the laundry center, washing a jillion sheets for people with loads more credits than me. So I keep smiling, because I know I'm right, and you can win a lot more people with a smile than a frown. I'm banking on the fact that Masaka find humans absolutely adorable, like puppies. Except, some of them want to fuck us, so I guess not exactly like puppies after all. Doesn't matter. I'm banking on being cute. I'd flutter my lashes if I wasn't worried it'd come across as weird. Human female, we do not have the time for requests right now. He practically snarls at me. We have over 100 new arrivals that must be processed, along with some cases that require special handling. You should go and tend to your farm and be thankful Lord Varin cares for humans at all. Right. The downside of looking adorable and small is that no one takes you seriously. I don't have a farm, sir. Allergies. I put a finger on the tip of my nose and wiggle it. There's something in the soil here that makes me break out in hives, but I'm fine if I stay in town. I'm actually a laundress. If my mother knew that all of those years of college debt were going to end up with me doing alien laundry, she'd probably need to lay down. It's not like I chose it. I'm just rolling with the punches. I decide to roll right into my request, since dancing around it isn't going to get me anywhere. So let me tell you why I think Port needs a social worker for the humans and why I should be that person. Not today, first-rank novice says. He picks up a data pad off his desk, tucks it under his arm, and then heads out of his office as if we weren't right in the middle of a conversation. Rude. I follow after him, determined to get my say. I pass by my boyfriend, Riffin, who frowns at me as his supervisor sweeps past. He frowns even more when I trot after Novus and begin speaking. I realize you're a very busy man, alien, first-rank Novus. Riffin says that you've been tasked with handling a lot of the initial settling of the humans, and that's where I think you need me. He snorts, marching down the hall. His tail flicks once, and he looks over his shoulder at Riffin, who is following behind with a worried look on his face.
I have only told her the basics, sir. Nothing secret. I would never compromise the security of this place.
Riffin grabs my arm, but I jerk free and continue after them.
The human.
My name is B, I say, because I don't like being referred to as the human, especially by a guy that expects me to kiss him later. I worm out of his grip and trot after Novus. And I point out that you need a social worker because you need a liaison that understands humans and that humans won't be afraid to talk to. Did you know that 3 farms were attacked last month? Novus sighs and keeps on walking, ignoring me. I keep right on talking. And did you know that Regina over at Farm District 13 had her farm attacked by poachers? She got married fast so no one could steal her property, but it wasn't a choice she should have had to make. And Lexi, she's in Farm District 8, by the way, says she went to the doctor last week for cramps, and he refused to treat her because he thought she was making it up to get medication. Their steps speed up, and with a huff, I walk even faster to keep up.
B?
Riffin hisses at me, trying to get my attention. I ignore him and raise my voice a bit more. Lexi ended up having a tumor in her uterus that was causing excessive bleeding, and she almost died. How do you think Lord Varin would have liked that if you had a human die on your watch? The Masaka officer stops so suddenly that I crash into his backside. His tail swivels and smacks me across the shoulder. Sorry, I breathe, forgetting to be effervescent for a brief moment.
You think humans are in danger of dying?
Novus practically snarls at me.
And that you can save them?
Riffin puts his hands on my shoulders.
Come on, B.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all, I manage, detangling myself from Riffin's grasp. Seriously, when I need an interfering Masaka boyfriend to take point for me, I'll ask. I get that Riffin is trying to be helpful, but this isn't the time. I'm saying that humans are afraid to stand up to aliens because they're big and scary and we're small and fragile. When that gets his attention, I put on my happiest smile. They need a friend to talk to, a go-between that isn't afraid to speak up on their behalf.
A friend,
he says thoughtfully, and then really, really stares at me hard.
You think this solves all their problems if I hire you?
I can practically hear the sneer in his voice, but I choose to ignore it. It certainly can't hurt. Let me prove myself to you. That elicits a smile from Novus.
Fine. You want to prove yourself to me? You can be the advocate for one particular refugee I have in mind. If this works, I'll hire you as a full-on liaison.
I clasp my hands together with delight. That's perfect. Thank you so much. You won't regret this.
No, but you might,
Novus says, flicking his finger over his data pad.
The refugee is Krulden.
I don't recognize the name, but Riffin does. He stiffens and steps between me and his boss.
Sir, no. B is far too delicate to work with him.
Lord Varin said that the other one,
his voice drops low,
showed great success and willingness to cooperate once there was a female involved. We can try this.
Sir, she's my female.
Riffin sounds pissed.
I don't want her anywhere near him. It's out of the question.
Well, I'm pissed too. Riffin isn't my owner, and I hate that these two twits are talking over me as if I'm not even here. I want the job, I say stubbornly. I can work with anyone. The refugee is male, so he's probably a little unruly, but it's nothing I can't handle. A little sweetness and willingness to listen go a long way. I can have this guy eating out of my hand in a week. I'll work with this Cruelden.
Sir,
Riffin says, leaning in. He gives his officer a meaningful look, and they eyeball each other.
It's dangerous.
We'll have her well protected, cadet, Novus promises my boyfriend. Don't worry. She'll fail at taming him, and she'll leave both of us alone about this job request. I can hear both of you, I exclaim. I'm not deaf, just short. Novus ignores me and gives Riffin a smug smile. She has a week. If she doesn't show improvement in that week, the entire thing is off. Then we all walk away winners. He nods at my Masaka boyfriend, barely glances at me, and then marches down the hall with his data pad. Have her at the security barracks first thing in the morning. No perfumes. Cruelden has a sensitive nose. He pauses and looks back at Riffin. And no mating. I make a sound of protest that's ignored by everyone. We're just dating. I'm so mad at Riffin for interfering that I give him the silent treatment for the rest of the day, and when he tries to calm me that night, I ignore him again. Here I am, trying to be a bastion of cheerfulness, and they acted like I was as dumb as a stump. I'm determined to show them, though. They think I'm going to fail at helping this refugee, this Cruelden, but they don't know just how determined humans can be. Riffin calls me repeatedly throughout the night, but I know he wants the kiss I promised in exchange for him getting me a meeting with his boss. Ugh, Riffin is sweet enough and handsome, but he's a terrible kisser and does nothing for me in the slightest. I've never been a particularly sexual creature, and the few rounds of sex I've had were uninspiring, to say the least. That hasn't changed now that I'm surrounded by aliens at all turns. I know some women find happiness with aliens, and there are some happy with their husbands. It's one reason why I've agreed to date Riffin. I don't want to be a laundress forever, and Riffin wants a human mate. We've had a few dates in port, and every time I try to break it off with him because I'm not feeling it, and I'm really, really not, Riffin insists I give him another chance. I know we're mutually using each other. I know he likes the street cred he gets from the other guardsmen that work at Lord Varin's estate. They don't like that the port custodians, militia soldiers of low rank sent to police port itself, have good relationships with the human females, and one's even mated. It's a pissing war to see who can get a human mate first, and Riffin is determined to win. I need to shut it down and tell Riffin he deserves better than a mate who gets grossed out by the thought of kissing him, and I was just about to, except I needed to talk to his commander. And I've promised a kiss, with tongue. I try not to shudder at the thought. Last time we did that, Riffin blasted his tongue in my mouth so hard I thought I'd choke. It was not fun, and I'm definitely not looking forward to this next round. But that's something to worry about some other time. I'm going to focus on my job with this Cruelden guy, and I'm going to rock it. I don't know if he's alien or just a scarred and somewhat feral human, so I try to prepare that night every way I can. I take a long shower using unscented soaps and pull out a tunic and leggings made of subtle colors in case brighter shades bother him. I braid my hair back and practice smiling without showing teeth. I dig through my box of human stuff, looking for the only reading material I have, a comic book in French, and write down list of songs I can remember from Earth. Music is sometimes a good memory cue, and I want to go in with all the tools I can. I get a good night's sleep, and when I wake up in the morning, I'm rested, recharged, and ready to go. I dress quickly and head downstairs for breakfast. The boarding house at Port is fairly empty right now. It's me and one other woman, a new white woman named Melanie, with blonde hair and a bright smile. She arrived last week and is waiting for a farm to be prepared for her. Melanie beams at me from the kitchen table when I arrive, handing me a bowl. Good morning! You look happy. I'm starting a new job today, I tell her. Social work. I'm helping with the test case, and then once I ace that, I'm going to see about helping all the new settlers here. That sounds exciting. Melanie's eyes go wide. What kind of test case? Don't know, I admit. Some gentleman the garrison has in quarantine because he's not adjusting well. I pile my bowl full of the grain-like porridge mixed with fruit. It's the breakfast here every day, and while it's not exciting, it's food. I remember far too many nights in alien livestock pens where we had to fight over small portions, and I'm grateful for whatever we get here. I thump down next to Melanie and begin to eat quickly. Riffin should be here to pick me up soon. Melanie gives me a dreamy look, propping her chin up on one hand. You've really got it all coming together, Bee. You're so lucky. Am I? Or am I just determined to hustle until it all makes sense? I'm not entirely sure, but I know I can't sit around and wait for the universe to do me any favors. It's already shown me that won't happen.
2. Asshole, Cruelden. I watch the guardsmen skulk around the barracks, my eyes slitted. I pretend to be asleep because they let their guard down when they think I'm not looking, or when I'm resting. It tells me everything about the soldiers here, and so I pretend to sleep a lot. My arms are stun-cuffed to one of the bars at the front of the cage, and I know it so they can shock me into submission whenever they want. Thanks to my last master, though, I've built up a good tolerance to stuns, and now I just pretend they affect me. And I watch. Something is different about today, I decide. There's a lot of the guardsmen around this morning. They're sweaty, nervous scents flooding my senses with the need to hunt. I could take that one, I decide, as one approaches the bars with my food. He's practically dripping with nervousness, and it makes me want to bare my teeth with hunger. He sets the tray down and slides it toward my cage, frowning to himself when it stops short a good distance from the bars. I bite back a malicious grin. The guard approaches, his tail twitching, and I remain very, very still. He watches me, hesitates, then shoves the tray full of meal bars again. Once more, it gets nowhere near my cage, and the male makes an unhappy sound. He rubs his head at the base of his horns, and then takes another step forward. One more, I tell him silently. Just one more step, and then the hunt begins. The guard hesitates, then leans forward and places his hand at the edge of the metal tray to give it another push. His tail flicks in agitation, and the moment it swings toward my cage, I act. I reach out and snatch it, jerking hard. The male loses his balance and stumbles toward my cage, and then I grab him. I sink my claws into his arm, and when he screams, I bury my fangs in his throat to stop his howling. Hot, warm blood rushes into my mouth. Better than a dozen of their dry protein bars, and I revel in the sensation. Kill, my old master's voice says. Make it messy. Give them a good show. I rake my claws down the male's chest as I tear at his throat. The sizzle of the cuffs, turned up to max, jolts up my arms. I can ignore it and keep attacking the male, but if I do, I discard all of the work I've done to convince them that the cuffs work on me. I'm not going to give up my plans for a snack, no matter how bloody, so I release him, howling my rage, and jerk at the cuffs. I make a good show of it, just like my master taught me, and lick at the blood on my muzzle. The male stumbles away, clutching at his neck, and I resist the urge to curl my lip in derision at his moaning. It's barely a keffing flesh wound. Pathetic. I suffered worse on a daily basis at the last stable. They send another jolt through the cuffs and I react appropriately, then lick the blood off my chops. I wasn't going to eat the fool. I just wanted to maul him a bit, watch them scurry, have a little entertainment. I keep my eyes closed and pretend to be unconscious, listening to the guards race around the room. "Again?" the one in charge states. "Who got too close to the asshole?"
"Abik, sir,"
another male says. "They're taking him to the clinic right now."
The one in charge groans in frustration, and I just imagine how annoyed his face is.
"That's the third one this week. When are they going to learn? You don't approach the keffing cage. Why do you think he's in one?"
"Sorry, sir. Abik is new. I'll have him reassigned to outpost duty."
"You do that. He clearly can't be trusted with this."
The male sighs heavily. "Today of all days." His booted feet echo on the floor.
"Someone come and clean up this mess before Riffin brings his female in. We don't want her screaming at the sight of the blood."
Screaming? Female? My senses prick with interest for the first time in days. Weeks? I don't know how long I've been in this cage. Ever since they woke me up. I don't know who the new master is or why he's letting his guards fool around with watching over me. I don't know where they're keeping the rest of the fighters or what they plan to do with me. Probably fodder for a particular match. Wouldn't be surprised if it was a death match. They're not acting like they know what to do with me, which isn't a good sign for my longevity. So I have to be smarter than all of them. I remain still as someone brings in a cleaner bot. The thing whirs, squirting a harsh-smelling soap that makes my eyes water. My wrists ache from the angle that I've collapsed upon in the floor of my cage, but I don't move. To do so would put them on alert again. And I want to know what this female situation is. The floor is cleaned, but no one bothers to clean me, which is a shame. I'd love for them to put a hand on me so I can show them just how many limbs I can break in under a breath. There's blood on my muzzle and claws, but I don't suppose that matters. The female isn't for me. They never are. I pretend for a while longer, listening to the guards as they go about their duties. Somewhere in the distance, the buzzer that indicates a door is opening goes off, and then two new scents enter the building. One of them is familiar. A Misaka male who's been in here plenty of times before. The other is new and beguiling. It's a female. A female that smells different than anything I've scented before. My senses prick with curiosity. That must be the female. It's a being, but the scent is softer and more delicate than the others. It's almost sweet. I wonder what she'd taste like underneath my fangs. Even her blood would be sweet, I imagine. I like the thought. I can hear voices talking as they approach, and hers is more musical and pleasing on the ear. The male with her stinks of an herbal soap that he prefers to hide his body odor, as do many of the guardsmen. To my surprise, the female has no such scent at all. It's a welcome change, because some of the guards make my eyes burn with how much they enjoy their stinky soaps. I can't wait to get a good look at her. In fact, the curiosity burns at me so much that I feign an awakening and get on my haunches the moment they step into the room. The female is soft. That's my first impression of her. Soft and vulnerable. She's smaller than I thought as she stands next to the stinking guard. The top of her head only comes to the middle of his chest. Her form is all rounded curves, fascinatingly round teats, a round backside and soft-looking arms with small hands. She's not Misaka, I realize. They are varying shades of blue, and hers is a cross between a pale gold and light brown. Her dark mane is pulled into a tight weave against her head, and her eyes are big and dark as well. Unlike the Misaka, she has no horns, no protective plating. No nothing to give her defense of any kind. Is this a taunt? Are they trying to show me the most vulnerable creature in the universe as a joke?
Is that him?
The female asks, her wide-eyed gaze resting on me.
Cruelden.
Huh. My name is Cruelden? I thought it was Asshole. That was all my last owner ever called me, and the males here do the same.
That is your project assignment, yes, the male in charge says, moving toward her and the male she arrived with.
The one in charge smirks, but the one at the female's side is not laughing. He looks very unhappy, and I wonder if she is his female. He does not like the thought of her being left with me. I don't blame him. I wouldn't leave a thing that soft with me either. Her mouth falls open, her expression one of confusion as she studies my confinement area.
Why is he in a cage?
The one in charge snorts.
Because he is a dangerous creature. Just a short time ago, he attacked one of my guards that was attempting to feed him. The female's brows draw together. I wait for her to show shock or horror. Instead, she focuses her little frown on the male in charge.
He's not a creature, first rank Novus. He's a person. And if this is going to succeed, you're going to treat him like one.
That's unexpected. He's being treated like an animal because he acts like one. The male, first rank Novus, says. He attacks anyone or anything that comes too close to his cage. He's violent and unruly. He destroys everything. Lord Varin wants him tamed without the use of medication since he cannot consent to it, but I'm not sure how it's possible. He's tasked my crew with it, but no one can get close enough to befriend him. He doesn't like males, and Lord Varin suggested a female. So now we have you. Novus gives her a thin smile.
I see,
the female says. The males look at her expectantly, but all she does is watch me. I meet her gaze. She stares at me, unflinching. Of course she is unflinching. She is across the room and I am caged and cuffed. It is easy to be brave with two males and metal bars between us. I give her a toothy snarl, letting her see the blood coating my muzzle. Her scent does not spike with fear, though.
What sort of alien is he? I don't recognize it.
He's a splice, Novus says flatly.
What's a splice?
She looks up at him, all curiosity, and I admit I would like to hear the answer to this, too. I have never asked what I am. I just assumed that all creatures look different than me, but perhaps not. A splice is a genetically altered clone who has been crafted from multiple races, usually with the aggressive and dangerous traits enhanced. It's in an effort to create a superior gladiator that will win consistently for his owner. If not, the novelty of a splice at least provides good entertainment for those watching the matches. The female's small nose wrinkles.
Is that what he is? A novelty?
He is a killer. He is wrong. I am a champion, bred and trained to be a champion. I was created to succeed, to destroy if I must, but most of all, to win, to conquer. She studies me, her round face thoughtful.
So, what races is he?
The guardman loses interest. Why does it matter? He's a splice. That's all you need to know.
Yes, but if he is born with certain genetic traits, it'll help me understand him.
Born? He scoffs. I told you he was created.
Of course you told me,
she says politely, her tone incredibly sweet. There's an odd inflection to it, though, one that makes me pause and try to analyze.
How silly of me to forget.
Quite, Novus says. The female smile grows broader but does not reach her eyes, and I bite back a laugh as I realize what her strange tone of voice is. She thinks they are idiots. She is humoring them, mocking them quietly by giving them the words and actions they wish to hear, even if it is not what she believes. I decide I like this female, even if she is working with them.
Do you think he is part Masaka?
She asks, her voice even sweeter than before.
I'm not familiar with a lot of alien races, but surely his coloring suggests that he has some of your blood?
First rank Novus gives a hard, unamused laugh. Ha! Masaka! That thing! He looks over her head and smirks at the other Masaka guard standing nearby. She thinks Cruelden is part Masaka! They all laugh, as if this is hilarious, and the female's pretty eyes flash with annoyance, quickly hidden. Her gaze turns back to me.
But he's so strong and fearsome. I thought surely he got that from your people. Where, then?
She flutters her eyes, making herself seem helpless, and I bite back a laugh. She just insulted them and couched it in praise, and they're too stupid to realize it. I watch as the commander straightens, puffing up with pride. A common misconception with many of the smarter gladiators, but no. This one is a mixture of Praxian, that's the feline race, and Moden, and a few other genetic tamperings I can't quite put my finger on. I doubt he's got any Masaka blood in him at all. Good, I think to myself. I want nothing to do with this fool.
How interesting,
the female says sweetly.
And the spikes he's covered with? The claws and tusks?
Who knows? Novus seems to be losing interest. He gestures for his men to bring something forward. You'll be in this hallway while you work with him. See what you can do. Lord Varin is interested in his rehabilitation, but if we make no progress, we'll have to let him know. You have a week.
A week,
she echoes and watches as they pull a stool toward the windows that line the hall.
And I'm supposed to stay out here. What, do I shout at him?
You don't want to get in there with him, trust me.
Why not? He's cuffed in his cage.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?